You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
Today is my first day sounding somewhat normal, feeling somewhat normal. You sound like garbage. I don't know why you're in here. You should have stayed home and had a personal day.
Why?
I haven't been feeling great all week, but, you know, I got the energy to be here. It's just a voice thing.
Yeah, it's fine.
Like, I don't feel under the weather. I don't feel like I'm even 99%. I feel 100%.
No, I...
But I sound...
First day of feeling somewhat normal. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I honestly, beyond garbage, couldn't get off the couch. I won the Masterton yesterday coming in. Today, my voice is still a little bit garbage, but I feel like a normal human being.
The grappler wanted me to bring in my Masterton, and I thought about it. I actually had some errands.
You should have gave it to me for a day.
Yeah, but as I said yesterday, I'm embarrassed to bring it in because I haven't taken very good care of it. It's all black and tarnished. And I know I bought some of that stuff that you can buy on Amazon, whatever it is, to take that off.
You should see my
tried cleaning it, and it was a disaster.
My Eastern Conference trophy, they give you a trophy. It's a disaster. I remember walked in the basement one morning. My kids had it in the back of a Barbie doll car. And it's bent, and the top is missing. They wrecked the top of it. It comes with a top.
Yeah.
And I called the NHL. I'm like, can I get a new trophy? Yeah, call this guy in Quebec. It's $800 for a new one. I go, what? Yeah, call the guy in Quebec. It's $800.
Yeah,
I'm like,
no guy.
Then I call Carolina. I'm like, can you guys just get another one sent to my house or whatever? It's like,
yeah.
My name, 2002.
What if they were like that? It's 925. Like,
yeah,
they
even more American somehow.
Make more money.
Well, I think they were the ones that actually directed me to the guy in Quebec and said, call this guy.
Yeah. Well, I guess, I mean, what are you going to do, right? You can't...
Oh, yeah, I know what you do. You leave the one that's bent, and it's on my coffee table or my dresser table in my room.
Do you have them on display?
Yeah, mine is on my nightside table in my room.
Okay. Where's your master then?
I have when we built the house, I have an office, so I kept everything kind of in my office. But it's in the corner, kind of buried behind some books and a couple pictures. Like, it's not front and center with me holding it or anything. Like, I'm not very vain that way. I care, and I really am proud of it, but
I go King Daddy Copper with that. You walk in the house, you look to the left, it's on a shelf by itself.
Yeah, no, that's
not... A glass frame that illuminates. Oh,
no,
what's that?
Like, yeah, what's your most prized possession? I think I know what your most prized possession is as far as memorabilia. The Gord Downie thing.
Yeah. Well, it was the gold medal until someone in Vancouver
stole it. Okay, but that, yeah. But let the Gord Downie, you have the lyrics.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And they signed it to me. That, it was personalized.
That's like shadow
awesome.
Box.
Yeah, that'd
stuff.
Be really cool.
That's really cool. Like, I've got some really cool memorabilia. Like, Pronger gave me one of his Olympic jerseys and signed it when they won in Salt Lake. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
You know what it is? It's in a closet in our basement somewhere.
Well, because that's not yours, right?
Like, yeah.
I don't have anything. Like, I'm not overly sentimental, but I can't think of one thing that I have. And I've been gifted some cool stuff over the years.
Yeah, like, I think over the years we get some amazing things.
Yeah, but I can't think of anything. You know what I had that I got last year, which was really cool? And again, my kids got after it, so it's lost all of its value. Not that I'm one that's going to keep it and try to sell it down the road. Remember last year before the All-Star game, the Raptors, they manufactured a couple of, like, superhero kind of, like Kawhi Leonard and Kyle Lowry.
Okay.
Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
No, but I mean...
Okay, so anyway, they sent those to me. I think they sent them to every media member in Toronto. It wasn't like, hey, you're the voice of the NBA in Toronto,
you
so
are
you
the
get
voice
it.
Of the NBA in Toronto.
Right, but they're like action figures.
That's cool.
They're really, really cool. And because it was Kawhi, and I got a sweatshirt, like a Kawhi Leonard sweatshirt, but... Now that he's left, I don't know if I feel the same way about it.
I'd be proud of it. Like, that's
well,
now it's a
I'm
collector's
not proud
item.
Of it. I mean, that's exactly what it is. It's a collector's item that I do think in 30 years, if I kept them both in like perfect shape, would be worth something because that was a moment in time in the city that's going to last forever.
For sure.
But again, the action figure, I brought it home within 5 minutes. My kid's like, "Can I open it?" I said no 15 times and then finally said, all right, go ahead. So there was like a basketball, and that's gone. It's probably under a couch.
They've lost all their value. I like to keep things along the way. I thought it was cool. I played in New York with Messier in his last game, and he used a different stick every shift, everything. And after the game, he gave all of us a signed stick that he used in the last game. I thought that was cool.
Well,
I kept that.
Speaking of you know, memorabilia, you see what happened in the Habs Ottawa game last night?
The Brady Tkachuk and Carey Price. Yeah.
So Caden Primo, he won his first game in the NHL last night. Yeah. That was his second start, I believe. Yep. He started down in New York. They lost that game.
No, he started against Colorado last
Colorado
week.
Lost
yeah.
that game. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, second start, got the win last night. And Brady Tkachuk went and grabbed the puck at the end of the game.
Which I kind of think it's hilarious.
Well, Carey Price saw it and went right after him. And
which
credit to Carey Price.
Which is even better.
Right, because I think you could appreciate that. If you're the backup goalie, that's your guy. You know it's a special moment. Not that Price is a backup goalie, but he was the backup goalie last night.
He was backing up at that time, yeah.
And that's his job. Like, I'm getting that for the kid, because you know he's probably...
Refresh my memory here. I didn't see this. What would Tkachuk want the puck for?
To grab it and be like, you're not getting that. Now, he has responded, and he is claiming ignorance.
Okay.
Okay, so I guess this just came out earlier this afternoon. Brady Tkachuk was asked about that it was Primo's first win. It was his puck. Everyone knows that. If you score your first goal in the NHL, you get the puck.
Yeah.
No one's going to take it and flip it over the stands to be a jackass about it. And if you're a goalie and you get your win, you want that puck. And Brady Tkachuk grabbed it and started skating off the ice.
Yeah.
Tkachuk said, quote, honestly, I didn't even realize it was his first win puck. I know Primo. I played with him at the under-18s and won a gold medal together. I know him pretty well. Honestly, I didn't even think of it. When I saw him, I was like, oh, okay. I didn't even realize. I was just going to give the puck to a kid in the stands, end quote.
I love it. I honestly...
There's no way that's true, though.
Okay, even if it's not true, like, even if he's like, do you guys remember what Chris Pronger did in the playoffs that one year? Was it against Chicago? He kept taking the pucks.
He grabbed the puck.
I thought it was hilarious.
He's just trying to rattle the cage.
Absolutely.
Now,
like,
you know, when you're playing the opposition and Carey Price is not in the net, and there's a rookie in the net that's played two games and he hasn't won one yet, you know damn well what the puck's for.
I find it hard to believe Brady Tkachuk didn't know that was his first win. He knows him. He said afterwards, I know him well.
Right.
Like, he's not an idiot. I think Brady Tkachuk has totally embraced being the biggest pest in the Eastern Conference.
I love it.
That's their biggest rival, or one of them, Ottawa, Montreal. Tkachuk, if he stays there for 10 or 15 years, he's going to play them 50 or 60 or 70 times.
The only surprising element to me is, Brian, those guys would be buddies. He just mentioned their connection with USA Hockey. They would have played on teams together. Like, what?
Even if
your head a shake.
Even if he's being a dink. Like, maybe he gives the puck at a later time. To me, if he's trying to agitate, I love it from both sides. I love that Brady tried it, but I think it's even cooler that Carey Price was like, hold on. And Carey's the type of guy who carries that type of weight to go, give me that puck.
Absolutely.
And Brady, you know, at
Brady
that
didn't
point,
fight him on it.
Exactly.
I don't think.
And, because if you actually watch the replay of it, I was quite shocked when Sherratt scores. Everyone goes towards Sherratt except for Price. And usually the backup goalie that night will go to the goalie. And everyone else goes to the goal scorer. And I was watching specifically. I'm like, okay, that's Primo's first game. Like, I thought Sherratt would go flying right back to him and give him a big hug. They did eventually, but they were excited that they won. Price went right after him. I thought it was
Price
great.
Knew what he was doing.
Exactly.
Price knew what he was doing. And listen, if... I'll stand corrected if it turns out every home game Brady Tkachuk grabs the puck and gives it to a fan. I find that hard to believe. I think he knew what he was doing. I think because it's him, like, that's his thing. Like, Brady Tkachuk is going to agitate. He wants to piss people off.
Did you see Shea Weber early in the game? He pushed Shea Weber into the goalie, and Weber got up and went after him. There was a big scrum. Like,
Brady Tkachuk's the type of guy
that you want on your team.
Every day of the week.
I love it.
But still,
kid.
It's a greasy move.
Listen. Brad Marchand plays like that. Brad Marchand gets underneath the skin, but he also backs it up with great play. You know, I didn't have a problem with it, but I also love the fact that Carey Price went right after him and said, hold on, I need that puck for my partner.
Absolutely.
It's great.
Get out there and take care of business.
Yeah.
So anyway, we've got a lot to get into today because the Leafs are in action tonight. We'll tee that up throughout the afternoon. I think we're going to get to a confirm or deny at 4:30. I just figured it feels like a confirm or deny kind of day. You know, the city, a little melancholy today. Last night, Kawhi Leonard, he got his ring. I thought the setup, I thought the presentation was very appropriate. I thought it was very balanced. You know, showing the appropriate amount of love and respect for Kawhi, but also not overdoing it to the point where it's like, look how pathetic we are.
Everybody was taken into consideration. The fans, ownership, the players, former players of Kawhi, Kawhi himself, and that is exactly what everybody needed. You didn't need to do any less, any more. I think it was perfected. And for a guy like Doc Rivers, who's been around a long time, to say that's the best I've seen, that's impressive. That's an impressive comment.
I think it was uniquely Toronto, where it was pleasant, understanding. We appreciate any swag we can get, and he supplied us with swag. We don't get that very often.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of the North American scene, specifically in the American sports world. And, you know, I don't know if American fans watching that could quite understand it, but I think that was a uniquely Toronto presentation and reaction, because I think if it was in New York... Or Philly, they'd boo the hell out of him because they'd say he left.
Yeah, you're right.
He left.
There would be a different reaction.
And we didn't react that way, but I think fans, you know, speaking for myself anyway, it's a conflicted feeling when it comes to Kawhi because, you know, he represents glory in a way, pain in a way because of what he brought last year, but he left.
Right.
He represents something new and old, winning and leaving, right? Like, we've experienced a lot of leaving in this city, a lot of it.
Right.
A lot of it. Stoudemire left, T-Mac left, Vince left, Bosch left. They all left. Kawhi left. He's no different than them.
Right.
The first second he could leave, he left. But what he did prior to leaving is unprecedented.
Yeah.
No one else had supplied that.
I thought
it's conflicting, you know, and you're not going to be able to define it in a 5-minute ceremony. Mm-hmm. What he represents as a player and as a symbol and to the city and to the fans.
I thought it was great. It was really neat, the recreation of the shot.
Yeah, it was really cool. Really well done. It's too bad the team sucked last night.
Well, I was going to say.
Like, the Raptors were flat.
Were you happy that...
No, they were awful last night.
Yeah,
they can't shoot.
Well.
That's the problem. Like, they're in a funk, but they shot 35% from the field, 22% from three. It doesn't matter who you play. You're not winning games with those type of numbers. And a lot of that was the Clippers. Some of it was bad shot selection, but they're in a funk right now. They've lost 4 or 5.
Yeah,
but it's December. They're 16-8. It's all good.
Yeah, relax. Yeah,
just relax.
But
you know,
it was neat. It was neat to watch. And
yeah, I thought they did it well.
The building seemed like, and Rod wasn't wrong. It seemed like a finals game. Like, it had that electricity.
Well, and I don't think this is closure either. You know, a lot of people trying to believe that. I don't buy that. The story of Kawhi. And reluctantly, the fact that he left is probably going to last and fester and just hover over the fan base for a long, long time. Like,
well, unless
forever. Really, what if he stayed? What if he stayed?
Yeah,
can you imagine if he stayed?
But what if
that's never going to leave?
What if they do something really good in the playoffs this year?
That'd be great. But if they don't win, they would have won with him.
Okay,
that's what
so
it'll
that's,
be.
Yeah, okay.
So
I don't know. I think there was an understanding that he was here on a one-year. It was a one-year thing, and I don't think they're going to let that drag out.
I think that was the case before they won. I was always 50-50 all year.
Right.
Because we always used the Paul George Oklahoma City example. But then they won a title, and I'm like, how do you leave after you win? Who does that?
Yeah.
Nobody. Nobody has ever done that before.
You're right. But no.
And
but
he did it.
If Kawhi Leonard is anything, he's probably the most unique character. Could be the most unique character in almost all of pro sports. But think about guys who have that aura around them, who are amazing players. There are unique people that are average players. You know, there are guys that are kind of, even, you know, goalies are known as weirdos and all of that. But, like, think about it. Who is the biggest superstar who's the most unique figure? And not unique like Maradona because he is a booze bag.
Right.
You know, I'm talking like... Somebody who just doesn't care about the fanfare, doesn't care. You know, he's not LeBron talking into the camera in third person.
In the NBA, Kawhi is
but who would
almost
be known,
a unicorn. But
who'd be known in all of sports? Like, Tiger is, he's not super unique that way. As
but
far
Tiger was fake, though.
Okay,
like Tiger was putting on the smile and giving the hey, right. Gee shucks, and then you're like, wait a minute, he's hightailing it to a Perkins and getting
correct.
After it.
So that was, but that's private perception and public perception,
right? But but that's what I'm saying. What makes Kawhi unique, I think, is that is exactly who he is all the time.
Right.
So I don't think some story's going to break. Like actually, Kawhi, you know, he's high maintenance and he only flies private planes and he only takes limos. I don't think we're going to hear that.
Right, right.
Like this, that's
what
makes him.
What you see is what you get.
Yeah, where I can't really say that about any other pro athlete that I can think of.
The only guy I can think of off the top of my head, and just only because it's recency, was Tim Thomas. Tim Thomas made no apologies for what he was or the way
he
acted.
He was a different dude.
And he was a different guy.
Yeah.
But there was about an 18-month stretch where he could have been the best goalie in the world.
Well, in terms of an attitude, like, is McDavid that far off? Like, has he ever said anything that's been interesting?
No, and you know nothing about him as far as...
Well, Sid's like that. What do you know about Sidney Crosby?
Sid's more polished, though, when he speaks. Sid
I know, but you know nothing about Sidney Crosby. You don't know if he likes to tee it up. You don't know if he likes the bowl. You don't know if he likes...
I think McDavid is...
You don't know anything about that guy.
McDavid's on the same path as Sid. When McDavid's 30, he's going to be well-polished. He's going to be all of that.
Right.
But do we know that much about him? We're going to know more about McDavid than we will about Crosby because McDavid plays in a Canadian city.
What would you prefer? McDavid and Crosby were more like PK Subban, where you know every second of what they're doing every day, where it's so blown out of proportion and it's like it's just
overkill.
It's social media on steroids, where it's like this is me doing bench press, this is me doing you know, there was an article written about him in the New York Post last week where it's just like...
Well, it was a scathing article. Scathing.
These guys are getting crushed every night, and this guy keeps showing up to events, and that's basically all he... What would you rather do?
Well, but
would you rather see McDavid and Crosby everywhere?
I would if they're playing at the level that they're supposed to be playing at. Like that,
you care to see a post on Instagram?
Sure, why not?
What do you get out of that?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it'll be some content.
I know, but...
Maybe it'll be something interesting. Maybe I'll get to know.
Oh, so you're like, add Adidas for a signing. You want to see that as a grown?
That's not what we're talking about here.
Well, that's what I just asked you though. Like, would you care to see McDavid or Crosby? Oh, I'm at Adidas, going to go do a signing. And,
no, that's not overly interesting. But if they're taking you into their personal lives, yeah, sure, absolutely.
I could care less. I want to see them play hockey.
Yeah, I want the best of both worlds. Like LeBron James is the best example. LeBron is a content machine.
Right.
You need this when you go home. Taco Tuesday.
Sure, why not?
I don't know. What does that do for you?
Once in a while, I talk about it on the show. Like, I make no bones about it. I'm in the content game. That's what I'm looking for.
Right.
So LeBron is a content machine. It's not all about what he does on the court.
I don't know. We have a different view on that. Like, I look at LeBron, I'm like, I didn't need to see you say Taco Tuesday.
Okay, but there's more than that. He does and says more things. He speaks his mind. Sometimes you don't like it, but he says something.
Oh, so you like to post, here's a message to my little younger LeBron.
No. Well, yeah, I did, actually. That was great. That was 15 minutes of material.
My favorite LeBron post ever was at the end of the season, maybe two seasons ago. I think he was into one, and he was like on a beach singing Michael Jackson, and it was like an extended version. I thought it was amazing. He was just literally sitting at a cabana bar and singing into his phone like
think
Michael
Jackson.
I thought that was amazing.
Think about what we've talked about. Again, we are in the content game.
Yeah.
Let's not pretend like you're not in it either.
Dude, I get it. It is content, but as far as my personal life to go home.
Okay, but that's not what I'm not going to curl up on the couch and be like, where's McDavid's Instagram stories? Like,
that's not what
I'm doing with LeBron.
Like, you're like,
no, I'm not. I'm saying, give me something more than pucks in deep. Good to see you guys. I'm out of here. Think about how many stories we've talked about LeBron in the past calendar year. Okay?
Good, bad, or indifferent. You're
but
right.
But away from the court. Away from the court. Okay?
Right.
His involvement in courtship in Anthony Davis, his agent, where that fact is in, Rich Paul, him showing up at his kids' games.
Magic Johnson leaving.
Magic Johnson. What he had to say about Daryl Morey, China,
yeah,
the Rockets. Like, this has
showing up to a game
do.
With wine.
Showing up to the game with wine. Not talking about triple doubles or a big shot at the buzzer. This is all the stuff. Give me one story about McDavid we've talked about that hasn't been, wow, did you see that highlight reel last night? Give me one.
I don't have one. The only one that I can think of.
Give me one.
I don't. The only one I.
And they don't have to. It's not their obligation.
Yeah.
They can do whatever they want with their personal life. But I'm just saying, if you want interest and you want, like, so say that about PK. The problem with PK is he sucks right now.
Right.
He doesn't play well. So right. People are like, PK, like, right. I get it, but you're not playing that well.
But that's what it is. And it was it's Tim Thomas all over again. Tim Thomas, if he was different, didn't matter. You know what the Bruins love? The guy stopping pucks. But the minute he didn't stop pucks, they thought things were, you know what? I don't really care for this, and this.
Right.
That's what we're doing with PK Subban, going, you know what? I'm tired of seeing this guy do this and that. Go out and make an end rush or score on the power play or do what you do best. And the minute you don't do it, that's when people have a problem. If you're playing at the top of your game, nobody cares what you do. That's really what it is.
Yeah.
We're not complaining about Nathan MacKinnon and not knowing him at all. Know why? Because the guy goes out and just dominates every time he's on the ice.
And I'm not complaining.
No,
I'm
you're
not
right. That's the wrong
they,
word.
They have no obligation to do anything but show up and play. But I'm not saying that they should feel ashamed that they're not on Instagram or Twitter. Just if we're talking about interesting characters in the sporting world,
right.
You can't include the two best players in hockey.
No,
you can't.
You're
not in the conversation.
Let me ask you this, because I think this will add to the conversation as far as on your side. What did you think of LeBron last year? Because we saw all this content, but he wasn't playing well. Remember, like, and
yeah,
I think there were times in here.
Up.
There were times in here where, like, you know what?
Tired
of seeing this guy with Space Jam and all of that. Like,
absolutely.
When it wasn't going well, that's when people start to nitpick. Like, why is this guy so visible still? Why is it? You know, you actually have to applaud it that he hasn't changed the way his behavior has been, regardless of how he plays on the court. He was consistent through it all. Because I think there were times on the show last year where, like, you know what, I'm tired of seeing LeBron. I don't want to see him at his son's thing when he can't get out there and play for the Lakers. Like, it was a bad season for him and the Lakers last year.
Right.
But yet he was still providing those sound bites, whether you liked him or not.
Well, he's on, you know, he doesn't have to be on Instagram.
But you're right, there is.
Although he's probably making money off Instagram.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not be naive. There might be some posts where he's making some cash because he's got so many followers. But
Connor McDavid's a quiet guy. I don't think he cares that he's more like Kawhi. He just goes about his thing and shows up and plays great. You know, if you want to get to
He has like a random tweet where he's like on vacation.
Yeah, I think
that's
he's
it.
Just,
yeah, which again
I think
is
he's
fine.
Just schooled. Like Jonathan Toews, how many times did he got mad at being called Captain Serious? Because actually, apparently, he's very funny. And very light. You know.
That's Kawhi. I'm actually a fun guy.
Right. That was Jonathan Toews. Did not like being called Captain Serious because apparently he's a funny guy and the guys love him, goes out and has a good time. You just didn't know much about him.
Right. Well, Leafs Flames tonight. We'll get into it later in the afternoon. A little confirm or deny coming up. That'll put a smile on your face.
Yeah,
I love it.
Ray Ferraro, just after 5, calling the game tonight on TSN 4. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050, and up on TSN 4. All right, Ray Ferraro in about a half an hour in Calgary ahead of the Maple Leaf game tonight. Freddie Anderson playing tonight. And I've got a clip here from Sheldon Keefe. We'll play that in a moment. But, you know, all this debate over whether or not he should be playing is a true testament to how people have just completely embraced, like, analytics, sports science, without any of their own information.
Right.
But, like, I was thinking about it when I was listening to this clip. 10 years ago, of course he's playing tonight. Like, are you crazy? They didn't play last night.
It's not even 10 years ago. 5 years
ago. 5 years ago. And, of course, he's playing Saturday in Edmonton.
But
like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, and it's, there were 10 to 12 guys that you didn't even think twice about. Luongo, Pekka Rene, Carey Price, all of these guys are playing 70 games.
Henrik Lundqvist.
Yeah,
Lundqvist,
like
you're right.
How horny was the goaltender fraternity when somebody came out and said they shouldn't be playing back-to-back?
still get paid as much money.
Yeah, but it's just like, can't happen. They don't perform as well. It's wear and tear on their body. And then they had the data of some injuries.
But that,
it's
you
like
know
the
what
goalies
it was?
Must have been like, you're damn right, man.
But I would preaching. Still challenge it because they would say, well, what they were saying is the save percentage is lower on the second night. Well, no, you know what, Sherlock. The team is tired, too.
Yeah, you sat on the bench and watched Grant Fuhr play 70 games, didn't you?
No, I watched Roberto play 74 or 5 or something like that. What was that guy? Bruce Racine backed up Grant Fuhr in St. Louis, where Fuhrzy played 78 or 79, yeah.
Which no one's saying that is the answer. I'm not saying that Freddie should get past 65 or that in the future you don't mix in a couple of different dates. But the team started poorly. They're coming off two wins.
Yeah.
Calgary's won 6 in a row. They're a good team. They didn't play yesterday.
It shouldn't be a debate.
They don't play tomorrow. Then they play Saturday. Like, obviously, he's going to play both games.
Yeah.
And right now, there's no option.
No, you got to play him. And he's a big boy, and he's more than capable of playing. And
now, I will defend a couple things. If you take a look at the past Cup winners, that's when you start to look at Holtby was in the high 50s. You know, Matt Murray obviously came up, and same thing with Jordan Binnington, played a total of 50 games and that. So there is, like, I'm not attacking the numbers. What I'm saying is everything still has to be situational. I used to say this all the time, and I'll take a shot at myself. Would I rather have 80% of Mika Kiprusoff or 100% of Jamie McLennan? I'll take 80% of Kiprusoff every night of the week because this guy knows how to play when he wanted to. And it's the same thing. Freddie Anderson is a top 5 goalie this year, arguably, for sure. I believe so.
He's in that race.
Right
anyway,
there.
Yep.
And he is in the conversation for sure. So if you have a superstar who's available on rest, like not on...
Non-negotiable.
It's non-negotiable.
Well, and here's what Keith had to say about the decision to play Anderson tonight.
He's in a groove, obviously, and means a lot to our team, as we've known that. But you know, the fact that he's feeling good and that we had a day off yesterday and all of that, it was just a pretty easy decision there.
Yeah. I mean, they don't have enough room. If you're Washington or Boston,
right?
You can, A, you've got those guys.
Right.
You've got backups that you trust. The Leafs don't. That's the elephant in the room. But you also have a buffer of like 15 points.
Right.
The Leafs are fighting for their lives in December right now. Doesn't mean, again, Freddie shouldn't and won't be playing back-to-backs in the future.
Yeah, if you're Washington or Boston, tonight could be a waster game where
you're
like...
Could be. The Leafs don't have that luxury.
Give it a shot.
Freddie's in a groove. They didn't play yesterday. They play tonight. They don't play tomorrow. They play Saturday. He's going to play tonight and Saturday. Yeah. And I don't think they have to explain themselves.
Well, here's another thing, too. I said this on Leafs Lunch, and you can take a look at the schedule. And once the team gets into a groove, then you can go... Okay, we're going to take a start away from Freddie when that rest matters. And what I mean by that is, say they play a Saturday night game, they play a Wednesday and then a Saturday. Maybe that Wednesday game is against New Jersey, against a team that you believe and know you should beat if you show up and play hard. That's when you slide in Hutchinson or goalie B, A, B, or C.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you go, okay, Freddie, you're playing Saturday. The full week to rest mentally and physically. You're going to get your details back with the goalie coach, work on some stuff, some habits, and be ready to go the following Saturday. You got one game in between that. That's when you start to take a look at the schedule. I didn't do a deep dive on the schedule.
No, they'll get there. Like, he's not starting 70 games.
So
it's not going to happen.
It's too critical of a time, and I think they're going to be like this all year long, where it's I still believe the Atlantic's going to be a fight.
Yeah.
But you're going to find rest for him. And if Hutchinson gets in, how about get a win?
Well, obviously, if and when that happens, if he gets another start, and if he doesn't, it's because they finally acquired somebody.
Right.
A, he's got to give them stops, but B, they've got to show up. And if they have to win 8-7, you win 8-7. Like, you find a way. And listen, Freddie, it doesn't guarantee that Freddie's going to play well every night.
No.
That's not an excuse to lose.
No.
If Freddie gives up 4 tonight, guess what?
Yeah.
Score 5.
But that's...
Like, that's the sport.
And there are going to be games against lesser opponents. Detroit, you're going to play them. Maybe that's a Hutchinson start. Like, you got to find a way to... I think we're overthinking it.
Well, and also, you're dealing with a sport where the coach still, yes, he relies on information, he relies on sports science, but there's also a gut feeling, and there's an insecure feeling for every coach. Case in point, what's happening in the football game tonight. Baltimore is red hot. I think they've won 9 in a row. They're going to win the AFC North. Yes, they're fighting technically with the Patriots for the top spot in the AFC, and that's an important chase. They have the Jets at home tonight. The Jets are abysmal. The Ravens are 16.5-point favorites tonight. 16.5-point. It's a short week, and Lamar Jackson's banged up. He was kind of a game-time decision. They made the announcement, I believe, yesterday, if not Tuesday. He's going to play. Why would you play him tonight? Why not? You've got RG3, who is a downgrade, clearly, but is capable of playing a similar offense, and you're probably going to beat the Jets anyway. With RG3 in, you're probably a 9.5-point favorite. You're probably going to win anyway.
Yeah, so go ahead and just put RG3 in and do the Bridgewater
maneuver. But you know why? Because Harbaugh has probably sat there and said, I can picture a Jets win if this is what happens.
Right.
I can picture it. We get silly. We don't play him. RG3 goes and throws two pick sixes early. We get down, and then we feel like we've thrown away the game. That's what coaches think.
Okay, but can't you put Jackson in and get to 21-0 and then take him out?
I guess you could, and maybe that will happen tonight.
Like,
but this point is, he's still starting, and he might take a lick tonight. He might re-aggravate an injury against the Jets when you're home free anyway.
Yeah, you're right.
But these coaches, they cannot help themselves. They can't.
Yeah.
And they won't because
they
it's so high intensity.
And that's their job. Their job is not to take your foot off the gas. Mike Babcock wasn't wrong when he was saying, we're trying to make the playoffs here. We're trying to win games. You want to give people experience. You want to grow and get better as a team. But he knew he was looking at Garrett Sparks and going, I don't know if I can put this guy in the net. He's looking at Hutchinson going, I don't know if I can put this guy in. I'm trying to win games. I'm not trying to, I know that my goaltender needs rest. I'm just looking at the schedule here for December. I've got two starts for Hutchinson laid out easily. Now, Freddie goes tonight in Calgary, goes Saturday. In Edmonton. Tuesday at home against Buffalo. They play Friday in New York against the Rangers. Saturday at home against Detroit.
So there you go.
Can you play Hutchinson Saturday night at home against the Detroit Red Wings next Saturday? Then they play Carolina Monday. There's Freddie. Friday in New Jersey, Saturday against the Rangers back home. So they're Friday in New Jersey. There's Hutchinson's start. There's two starts, one against the Detroit Red Wings, who have lost 12 in a row, which can be dangerous a little bit.
It shouldn't be.
And then New Jersey on the 27th after Christmas, which is always a little bit of a gong show game anyways.
But New Jersey, again, not any good.
New Jersey's not.
Should be a gettable
game. So those are two games that you should win.
Yep.
That you should trust your backup to be in.
Ray Ferraro will get his take on this. Another coach fired in the NHL last night, Peter DeBoer. Finally, someone fired because of just not being able to win games.
Don't you see that people are watching the bump from the assistant guy, Calgary?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to do that. I want to save the season.
The Leafs are 6-3. It all started with Berube a year ago. It was all Craig Berube. And these are all teams that had expectations coming into the year.
Yeah.
Toronto, Calgary. Now, Calgary was a different story as to why they made the change. But San Jose, 5 coaching changes already. We're not even halfway through December. So we'll get into that and more. A big heavyweight tilt last night in the NHL, too. But confirm or deny. We'll get to that next.
I can neither confirm or deny that that this is in fact a segment.
Boston trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto in exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's time for confirm or deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
I love that clip.
Did Duthie ask that question to him?
Yeah, that was during an interview. Just a jam job. Now,
who did he give all those contracts to?
Trades was to Caberle, McCabe, Sundin.
Kabina.
Were they called the Muskoka Five?
I think Tucker was in there.
Tuck's had a... I don't
send him a note and ask.
Tuck's
if he was in there. If JFJ hooked him up with just an ironclad no movement contract. But it was my honor and privilege.
Yeah.
But I cannot confirm or deny. So we all know how this very unique to this show type of game works out. Okay. There's going to be a take, or I guess a prediction for the future, and we go around the table. We either confirm that it will happen or we deny that it will happen. You guys ready to go?
Yep.
Confirm or deny, at least one more NHL coach will get fired before the end of the season.
Are you kidding me? 100% confirm.
Yeah. Confirm.
Confirm.
It may, I mean, once I know
the, once it starts happening, the Leafs got it started. Babs out, and then it's just a trickle-down effect.
And it, like, Peter DeBoer, like, the team was underperforming, and the message gets stale. Like, that's, it's not going to be the Jim Montgomery situation. It could be. But
there have been three coaches fired because of the play of the team.
Right.
Like Babcock.
Babcock was one.
Obviously, DeBoer and John Hines.
Right.
Bill Peters is extreme. Montgomery. I mean, we're still, I don't know what happened there, but unprofessional conduct.
Right.
And the team has been on a heater is a bit of a different story. But, I mean, I guess, you know, with where the game is at and Bettman on top of things, and it feels like the league
but
is involved, I'm not going to hold my breath for another, this guy's done something in the past, so he's fired.
No.
But I think from a performance perspective.
People talking, so I saw on Twitter last night saying, five coaches have been fired, and Detroit still hasn't won a game.
Blashill's not going on anywhere.
Why would you fire Blashill in a rebuild?
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Don't.
You're tanking.
If you want to do something this summer after Steve Yzerman has done a full look on 1 year.
Sooner or later, Jamie, like he's been there a long time, and it's just
But I'm saying you don't
losing after losing after losing.
But they're gonna get.
And I like him, but
he's gonna get fired.
How much losing can you do?
The soonest I think he's gonna get fired is this summer. They're tanking, so unless you're bringing in another, let's just call it a Pete Horacek type of situation.
Anyway, as far as this answer, I 100% confirm one more will go.
I lean towards confirm. Like last year, I think there were seven by the end of the year, and they were all performance-based.
Let me paint a picture for you. If Tampa Bay continues to sputter, do you think John Cooper is on thin ice there?
That's the only one that's obvious to me. Maybe Peter Laviolette in Nashville, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll confirm it because, like, Blashill's a different story because so bad.
They're in a rebuild.
They're so bad.
They're doing that on purpose.
Right. And you're not going to hire somebody to come in and take over the team. You're just going to basically promote an assistant coach.
They're going to get a very high draft pick.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're going for.
I guess I'll confirm it. Performance based, yeah.
Confirm or deny, Freddie Anderson starts at least 65 games this season.
I'm going to confirm that. You don't have no choice right now. If they happen to pull the trigger on a trade for a,
they've got to trade for somebody. Like I don't know who that is. I don't know what it's going to cost, but it's the only priority.
The cost of the guy in Pittsburgh just went through the roof.
Well, you're not getting him.
You're not moving him.
You had to get him.
Casey, their number one now.
But that's why they put Casey DeSmith on waivers because Jerry had upside. Jerry's a better player than Casey DeSmith, so. 2 years in a row, Freddie played 66 games.
When did DeSmith go on waivers?
A while back, start of the season. Like, there was talk about Jerry maybe being potentially available. And that's where teams started sniffing around because he has upside.
Mm-hmm.
But
65 is...
It's not an astronomical
it's
number.
It's not crazy.
It's not crazy.
It's not.
He played 2 years in a row, 66, and they made the playoffs.
Tucks.
Did he get back to you?
Yeah, he's just.
Well, what did he say? Does he have a problem with us or me in particular?
Doesn't only say no trade,
no movement,
no trade, no move.
He is asking if he's ever been to the Rico Coliseum. If he's ever stepped foot,
no,
he's not going anywhere.
I love it.
You knew he was getting that.
I think they all did.
Yeah. Oh, Fergie was handing them out. Now those guys were like legitimate players.
Yeah, they deserved it.
It's not like he was handing them out to fourth line players, but 65. Unless they get another backup, I got to confirm it. I think he'll get to 65
all day long.
It's going to be close. Like it could legitimately be 63 if they find somebody and get a Brian Elliott or somebody like that. Although Philly's not going to part with him.
No, why would you? they're in a playoff spot, and Carter Hart, he's still young and proving himself.
I'm going to say deny because I think they want him, his number to just be a slightly lower.
So I think they definitely want that.
But they'll make it happen somehow.
Confirm or deny, your boy, Tanner Roark, will start opening day for the Blue Jays in 2020.
And he'll get his tits lit. Confirm.
As of now, I think it's a confirm.
Yeah, he's the number one guy.
There's no one better than him on the staff.
And I love the way the Jays brass is acting like they just...
Oh, what a get.
What a get, and this is what we've been hoping for the whole time.
I mean, I'll take it. I'm not going to complain because he's like a three or a four maybe. Or...
Yeah, but if you're going to go third-tier acquisitions, you got to get at least two guys.
Oh, yeah. They need more than that.
No kidding.
Yeah, they need a lot more than that. But with the way their staff is currently set up, he's the best option for opening day. So I guess I got to confirm. Tanner Roark.
I'm going to deny because
give us the Roark clip.
Roark's been getting his tits
yeah,
lit.
He really has.
On opening day. I love the other guy. Yeah, he really
yeah,
has.
Really
listen
have.
To him.
Roark's been getting his tits
yeah,
lit.
He really has.
It's like they say that all the time.
He's thinking going, should that be on... On
he
radio
was, he
that
was
on
basically TV. Blabbing out. I was thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah, you beat me to the punch.
Roark's been getting his tits
yeah,
lit.
He really has.
Like, he barely got that S out. Yeah. And he's like, yep.
Yeah, you're right.
Roark's been getting his tits
yeah,
lit.
He really has.
I'm denying
ooh,
it.
I love that clip.
I think they're going to find somebody else.
You think so?
Yeah, they're right. Still being proactive.
There's other guys out there. Ryu's exactly. Still out there. Keuchel's still out there. There's some decent names.
Of them.
Well yeah.
Get one of them.
Honestly, at this point, you could get both. You just got to spend the money.
I say Ryu ends up back with the Dodgers. They're not going to let him go.
Yeah, that seems like it could end up happening. It makes you wonder why it hasn't happened yet. But
they probably right. Played the role with him and said, okay, go sniff around, see what you got.
Yeah, then come back, and yeah. We'll add 5 or 10 mil, and then you stick around. But the guys that we're at now, like these second-tier right. Guys, it's all money. You can get them. Like, honestly, you say, what do you need, and we'll add $5 million on top. You got them. Right. And this team will not do that. Right. They won't do it. Ray Ferraro on the Leaf game tonight. Tom Wilson versus Zdeno Chara last night in a true heavyweight tilt. That and more coming up in hour 2. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.